DevOps Shorts, DevOps Shorts, the show to listen to when your DevOps hurts. And even when you're going strong, it's short and sweet, so come along. Hello, folks, and welcome to DevOps Shorts, the show where we invite wonderful human beings to have a lightning-fast conversation about devs, ops, and other mythical creatures. The show where each episode only lasts 15 minutes and we're focused on asking only three questions. So it's short and sweet. Why? Well, because if there's one thing we know, it's that great delivery comes in small batches. And our guest for tonight is Baruch Sadagursky, the head of DevOps Advocacy, or the chief sticker officer at JFrog, the Universal Artifact Management Company. Hi, Baruch. How are you?
Thank you for having me, Anton. Everything is great. And let's do it. Let's talk about DevOps and other mythical creatures.
Right. Okay. So without further ado, let's jump straight into the first question. And the first question is, why do you love information technology? I have this naive assumption that you love what you do. I may be wrong, I may be right, but you can tell me what the right thing is.
I love what I do. And I think the primary reason why I love that what I do is that not being very skillful or crafty, using information technology, using software, I can actually do something meaningful just by banging away on my keyboard. And that's very exciting. And the world that we live in today, we really see that this type of craft, this type of creating value becomes more and more important. And this makes me very, very excited because I can actually do something meaningful without sweating outside all day.
So you don't like sweating outside? That's the reason.
I tried. My first degree was in mechanical engineering, and I tried it in the Israeli army, greasing tanks. Didn't like it.
But when did you realize that you love this thing? So what was the story? When did you fall in love with what you do?
Well, I think I decided that I don't want to do what I intended to do when I actually started it. And then I looked for the alternatives. And the alternative was the information technology that I wasn't really excited about back then. I mean, I knew computers. I was a little bit of a gamer. I did a little bit of stuff on, you know, AutoExecBAT and what was it? The second one, Sysconfig. But that was the level of my programming skills back then. And then I just had a great teacher in my college degree that was in a software programming 101. This is where I kind of fall in love with the stuff. Turns out that you see in the air conditioner office, bang on your keyboard away, and then stuff happens. It's pretty cool.
Wonderful. And okay, we still even have some time left from this question. So I'm stopping the timer here and we're going on to the next question. So the next question is this. What was your DevOps aha moment? In DevOps Handbook, each of the authors describes their DevOps aha moment, that situation in their lives that made them realize that the way things work in IT simply sucks. But there is a better way. So what was that moment for you? When did you realize that there is a better way? And what is that better way for you?
Yeah, so as we know, the aha moment for DevOps happened in the head of ops people, because they realized that the way that they are suffering from those silos between devs and ops can be solved by actually involving dev in what ops does. Coming from the dev part of the house, I didn't have that because it never bothered me what those ops guys are doing with the software that I wrote, because
cares about them.
And now it's their problem. So I didn't have this, oh, we need to fix something. But what I did have and still having, it's like a continuous aha moment, is realizing how everything fits better together when we actually start involving different parts in our entire delivery flow. And it actually keeps going. And every time I think about security, I think about usability, I think about design, and merge them together into this value creation flow, it still strikes me as, if we merge silos, it's actually better. Every time I think about it, it's like, well, yeah, it makes sure DevOps. And this keeps going every time I think about anything that the silos can be teared down and we can bring people together to do something way, way beyond dev and ops and QA. Every aspect of value delivery, when you merge them together, becomes DevOps and
okay, so basically what I hear you're saying, I never had a DevOps moment, but then immediately you're saying, I'm having the DevOps moment all the time. So that's it.
Exactly.
There was no point in your career that you suddenly came to a realization that you used to work in a certain way, and now we need to stop working in the way we used to work, and we need to start working in a different way. Or was it just a gradual arrival?
What I want to say is that I didn't reinvent DevOps for myself. I learned it from other people, DevOps Handbook, Project Phoenix, and other great sources, but it made so much sense to me back then and keep making sense to me now every time that I make myself thinking about a process that can be DevOps side. And then it actually makes sense again. I guess that's my aha moment.
Okay.
If it makes sense.
Okay. Good. And for this moment, for this question, we also have leftover time. So you're going to suffer in the blitz section, or maybe enjoy the blitz section. And I'm stopping the timer now. And we're going straight into the next question. So this is the question that's the most exciting for me personally, because I like to define myself as the software delivery futurist. I love future. I'm in love with the future. And this is your chance to look into the future. You define what's next. You can talk about tomorrow when we finally get out of the lockdown. You can talk about what happens in 5, 10, 20 years from now. Go wild.
Yep. So the most fascinating aspect here is the definition of what machines can do better than humans, and then employ those machines to actually do this stuff. We have that, we see it today, when we think about how we can automate the pipeline, actually delegate to the pipeline pieces that we used to do manually, and that actually accelerate our delivery. And we say about everything should be automated, but this automation actually stops where the machines cannot do some work that people can. And then we try to be creative about it, because we say, okay, we'll try it by hand, but then automate our findings and all that. And I think that the future is that more and more pieces of this pipeline will not only will be maybe possibly a little bit automated, and some companies are, you know, kind of scratching the limits in that, but it will become obvious that for delivering software, there is nothing that we actually have to do manually. And this is where the entire automation and DevOps part will become absolutely natural for everybody, and it won't be even a thing anymore. This will be how we actually do software, and then interesting things will happen, because obviously when this is out of the way, the next question is what's then. And I don't think anyone, that's kind of for me the events horizon, after which it's very, very hard to predict what is going to happen. I don't think that we will all be automated out of our jobs, but I think some of us probably will, just because, you know, this is how it works in this world. As we won't need truck drivers in the foreseeable future, we will need less ops people that used to do the boring kind of, you know, the mundane job, and they will either have to reinvent themselves in bringing value that machines still can't, or they will unfortunately be out of profession. It will obviously disrupt stuff, but then interesting things will happen, and it might very well be that our professions will change beyond something that we can actually predict today. That's kind of the big thing, I think. I think it will be interesting to see what the machines will do to our industry.
Okay. So something like a Westworld kind of utopia? Dystopia?
Well, I don't... Yeah, no. So, yeah. I don't know if that's kind of the future, because I'm not talking about like humanoid robots that will work among us. What I'm talking now, it's a little bit smaller vision. It's something that has to do with what we do today, with automation of value delivery. And this is something that will be completely trivial and out of the box for everybody, something to the level of how do we manage sources, and obviously for everybody we need a version control, and then this is how we will be about all the software delivery. Obviously we write code, and next thing we know it is delivered properly with the quality gates, with the progressive delivery, with all the concept that we really work very hard and do a lot of manual work to make it happen.
Okay, we hit the gong.
Yes, because it's not trivial. Tomorrow it will be out of the box and trivial for everybody.
Okay, let's see. Okay, we still have about 3 minutes left. That was a great answer. And let's jump into the blitz questions now, right? Okay, so what's, in your opinion, the most exciting technology outside of information technology? Is that an iRobot, or maybe, I don't know, an automobile?
Yeah, the disruption in automotive industry is exciting, because you see that this very old-fashioned and very classical industry suddenly discovers that if you put computers on wheels instead of put computers in the car, they just disrupt it out of the business, and things are happening there. Fascinating.
Okay. Discipline or creativity? What matters more?
Creativity.
Okay.
I mean, discipline is nice, but without creativity, you have no use of discipline at all.
Okay. How many red runs does it take to get to a green CI?
I can do Hello World green in one run, if that's of an interest. Obviously, for anything more complicated, I don't think it matters. Red runs are not a bad thing. They're experiments, and we should encourage experiments and not discourage them. So make it how many red runs as you wish, as long as the green run is better in the end.
Would it make you happy to see your kids work in tech?
Well, one of them actually now on their way, he's in college learning big data and artificial intelligence, this kind of stuff. The other, you know what? I don't know. Let them choose their path. And by the experience that I have now with the one that actually on the way, he's pretty annoyed with my answers to his questions. So maybe it's not the best thing.
Okay. Universal basic income, yes or no?
Yes. As I mentioned, people will start get automated out of their jobs. And once we generate enough wealth, we actually need to be able to, allow people live comfortably with pleasure. And as long as it's truly universal, I don't think there is any problem to actually implement that and benefit from it.
Great. And here's the gong and we're out of time. Thanks a lot, Barak, for coming. I really enjoyed our conversation and I think you were sharp and fast and short and sweet, exactly as we like it in DevOps Shorts.
Thank you very much, Anton, for having me. I love the format, it's very engaging. We'll obviously keep following. And thank you for having me.
Short and sweet. Thank you for listening and watch out for new episodes of DevOps Shorts.